As we prepare to open God's Word, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father God, again we want to thank you for inviting us into your house this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us as we go through your Word. And Lord, may everything that is said and done here bring glory to your name. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. In our scripture reading this morning, we read that in the last days or the latter times, there's going to be prevalent seducing doctrines. Of course, doctrines means teachings. Teachings within the church. Seducing means those that will lead you astray. Those things that are not what you should be involved in. They're seducing because they sound good. And even on the surface, they're going to look real good. And if we're not careful, they will take us captive. Now, I know from things I heard this morning in Sabbath school already that several of you agree with me that we are living in the last days. These are the latter times. If the Bible speaks the truth, and I fully believe it does, and if this is the last times, the latter times, the last days, then we can fully expect there to be seducing doctrines coming into the church. I want to talk to you about some of those this morning. And what I'm going to share with you, I am by no means an authority on. I only share these things because I really believe that's what God has called me to do. This is not the first church I've shared it in, but I think it's really important for all our people to understand these things. And believe me, when I started studying it, I didn't want to do it. I had people talk to me about these things a little bit, and I just kind of pushed them aside. You know, it's not a big deal. And I was actually preparing for a sermon one week, and all week long, I tried and tried and tried and tried to come up with something and couldn't do it. Every time I'd read my Bible, I'd start reading and I'd get stuck on one verse. And that verse wouldn't make any sense to me, but I couldn't read any further. It was happening all week long. And I came up to Friday night to preach Sabbath morning, and I still had nothing. And finally, I just felt impressed that I needed to just take a bit of a break, and I started watching this video that somebody had sent me. And it dealt with these topics a little bit. After looking at that video, I was extremely impressed that that's what I need to preach on. And the Lord took me through the internet, different sites. And believe me, I don't search the internet. I don't know how to search the internet. I get my daughter to do it for me. I need something. I say, Hannah, look this up. Tell me what you find. When I try and do the same things that I think she's doing, it just doesn't work. This night, everything was coming together. I have no doubt that God brought every bit of this together. And that's also part of the reason I have no doubt that He wants these things shared. These things are very prominent in many of the Protestant churches. They are becoming more and more prominent even within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I tell you, they are very seducing. Because on the surface of them, they sound very good. They sound like exactly what we need as Christians. Not only what we need, but what we want as Christians. Until we begin to understand a little deeper what these teachings are about. The first one of these teachings I want to mention to you is called quantum spirituality. Now, these things I'm going to share with you about each one are things I took from their websites. Those who are promoting these teachings, what I'm going to share came from their own websites. It's not from websites put up by people opposing this stuff. This is what they put forth. Quantum spirituality says conservative religions resist the proven facts of evolution. That's one of the things they start with. Now, to me, that right there threw a major red flag. First, because it's talking against conservative religions, which I consider myself to be quite conservative. The Adventist Church as a whole is quite conservative. So to begin with, this is going to be saying that I'm probably resisting this, and our church is probably resisting this. And we should. We should be resisting the proven facts of evolution. I've never known there to be proven facts of evolution as of yet. Theories? Yes. Ideas? Absolutely. Facts? No. Can we take things and say this looks like it would teach evolution? Yeah, absolutely. There are many things that seem to go along with the idea of evolution, but can they prove them? No, they can't prove them as of yet. They never will. They can't prove that any more than we can actually prove that the world was created. Is there evidence to suggest that? Absolutely. Do I believe that? Absolutely. Can I sit down and prove it definitively to you? No, and neither can anybody else. But there is evidence really to suggest it. So to begin with, they're already starting with lies, telling you evolution is proven fact. But then talking that how we are going to resist these proven facts, you know, that already tells me that this is not ground I want to get involved in, that I want to start believing anything they have to say. But it goes on, they say, science needs faith and spirituality needs objectivity. Do you realize in your relationship with God you need some objectivity? You need to get away from the Bible a little bit. You need to get away from absolute truth and listen to what science tells you some. That's what they're trying to say here. You need to be a little bit more objective. Forget what this book has to say. That's not what really matters. Look at science. Look at what evolution teaches you so that you can understand what's real. Quantum spirituality teaches a truly holistic worldview and will bring an end to dualistic thinking. Now keep in mind, what they're talking about is Christians, especially conservative religions or conservative Christians, accepting evolution. Get rid of your dualistic thinking. Well, obviously, creation and evolution are opposed to each other. To get rid of your dualistic thinking and to accept evolution, you got to throw out creation. If you're going to throw out creation, you got to throw out the Creator with it. And yet, quantum spirituality is growing by leaps and bounds within Christianity. So-called Christianity. Because in my opinion, when you're throwing out the Creator, you're throwing out Christianity. If you don't have a Creator, you're not a Christian. You can't be. Because He's the one that created Christianity. It's His Son that Christianity's named after. Not happening. And you know, you don't just have to go from this, but you can listen to many of these other churches, many of these preachers on TV, listen to what they're saying, and they come up with all kinds of other teachings in place of creation, or in place of what the Bible, how the Bible tells us that we had 7 days of creation, or 6 days of creation, and then God rested the seventh. The teachings out there that still want to hold with creation, so many of them is each day of creation took thousands or millions of years. Well, that would be kind of nice when it came to the seventh day to have a 1,000-day rest. That'd be kind of nice. But to think in those terms, it doesn't fit with Scripture. And yet so much of the Christian world is soaking this stuff up. And if we listen, we will find it even in our own church here. Another one of these teachings is what is called the emerging church. They say what those involved in the conversation mostly agree on is their disillusionment with the organized and institutional church and the deconstruction of modern Christian worship, modern evangelism, and the nature of the modern Christian community. In other words, everything about church, where it's been held, how it's been held, what it's been teaching, all this from the past, every bit of it's wrong, and we need to change it all. Why do you think you don't find churches anymore? Any of these new places springing up? They're not called churches. It's a worship center. Well, that can mean about anything. You know, each different religion has a name for the place that they worship. You got synagogues, you got temples, you got churches, you got all different other things. Well, church is a place where you come to worship the one true God. It's hooked with Christianity. And yet those who profess to be Christians are even getting away, even from the name of it, to just a worship center. And then when you look at what's going on in those places, it's not worshiping the God I know. Many profess that it is, but those involved in the emerging church, these are some of the biggest and fastest growing churches in this country, in this world. There's one of them. I live in Charlotte. There's one of them there that is actually the fastest growing in the country. Some of what the pastor has to say, yeah, I agree with him wholeheartedly. A lot of what he says, not even close. My brother goes to that church, and I've tried to talk to him several times about it. Oh man, our pastor's right on with the Bible. Our pastor, no, he's great, and his whole thing is to get everybody turning to God. The last three times I've talked to my brother about this city, not specifically about this, but where we've talked about church any. You know, last week my pastor said something that I just had to completely disagree with him on. And he said this, but there's no evidence in the Bible about it. And I said, why do you think he's doing it? Well, I think he's trying to come up with something that's kind of new and exciting to where he's the one who gets to put it out there. Okay, maybe you ought to start looking more closely at where you're going and what's going on. But these are the things that's happening. They want to do away with all organized church, really. The whole, everything about it. And you know, think about it just for a moment. Those of you who know anything about the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, back when the Seventh-day Adventist Church was starting, I mean, we had come along a little ways, and some people started talking about organizing. And quite a few others were saying, we don't want to do that. Thinking, you know, looking at so many of the churches, that's not a good thing. And through the prophet in this church, God revealed that one of the things we needed to do was to organize. You know why? Because our God is not a God of just random chance. Our God is an organized God. He is orderly. He likes things in order. If you don't have organization, you don't have order, you have chaos. That is not what our God's about. That's basically what this is. Many these churches, people can come in, They can believe whatever they want. It doesn't really matter what it is. And granted, you can come in the Adventist church and you can believe anything you want. And we're happy to have you here. We're not going to let you promote whatever you want. Because the Bible teaches certain things. And if you're going to stand up and teach in the church, you need to be following Scripture, right? Well, with them, Scripture doesn't really matter. Anybody can promote whatever they want. Anybody can believe whatever they want. It's not a big deal as long as you love God. I remember going to my high school reunion a few years back, and one of the girls there actually asked me if my brother was a preacher. I said, no. I says, he works with the kids and stuff. He's not a preacher. I says, I preach. Oh, I don't want you preaching to me. I already know Jesus. Jesus is cool. He's my friend. And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds just like I used to be when I was in high school, as drunk as I could be, talking about how Jesus is my friend and Jesus is cool. But I didn't have any kind of relationship with him. That's not what they worry about nowadays. It's just the experiences that you have. That's all that really matters. Part of what they say with the emerging church, you know, I told you they wanted to do away with everything of the modern Christian church. They say we're living now in a postmodern age. That means after the modern times. So we're past the modern. This is what they said about the modern. The modern age church was overly focused on doctrine and absolute truth. Now, wait a minute. First off, part of my doctrine and part of my absolute truth says Jesus is the truth. To me, that is absolute. Jesus is the truth. Can you be overly focused on Jesus? I don't think so. Can you be overly focused on Jesus being the truth? No. Now, you can misuse it. You can take it and try and beat people over the head with it, yeah. And no, that's not what we should be doing. Should we be presenting Jesus? Absolutely. Should we present His Word as absolute truth? Absolutely, all the time. If there is no absolute truth, what is there? It's just everybody holds to whatever they want. Think about it. The book of Judges. I'm sure most of you have read the book of Judges. And you know, each time there's a judge raised up, they lead the people of Israel, the judge dies. Do you recall what it says in Scripture every time after a judge dies? It says, and everybody went back to doing what was right in their own eyes. That's the same thing this is all about. Truth doesn't matter. Do whatever is right in your own eyes. Just do what you feel the Spirit's leading you to do. The problem is, it's generally not the Holy Spirit leading you to do it. If we don't go by truth, how do we even begin to know what Spirit it is? Just because of how it makes me feel. Oh, friends. That's not good ground to be on whatsoever. I've done a lot of evil things in my life that made me feel good at the time. And I'm sure if you look at your lives, most of you can attest to the same thing. Do you really want to go by your feelings? I'm glad I got the truth of God's Word to guide me. Because that tells me even when I think something so clearly, then I come back to God's Word, I can see, wait a minute, it doesn't matter how strongly I believe this. I'm wrong. God's way is right. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is death. We have to have absolute truth. We need God's Word. So they say we were too overly focused on doctrine and absolute truth. This focus doesn't work today. People don't want or need doctrine. They want experience. Therefore, we need to reinvent church. Personally, I say we need to get back to the way it was to begin with. Get back to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Get back to what He says. Get back to God's Word and not our own ideas. And we need to examine every one of our beliefs. Because I can tell you, these things are not new. There has been lies creeping into the Christian church since Jesus Christ started it. You don't believe me? Look at the things Paul wrote. Paul talked about them all the way back then, in the beginning. Paul said they were there. We need to examine every one of our beliefs. Take everything back to the Scripture. Ask God to guide you through it and see what the Word of God really says. The next one of these teachings is something called spiritual formation. This focuses on the ordinary maturing of one's relationship with God. Spiritual direction is a relationship between a person seeking a more Christ-like life and another who serves as a guide to the process. You know, that sounds really good until you understand a little bit what it means. And let's face it, this is what we want. We do want to grow in our relationship with God, don't we? We do want to grow in our spiritual life, and we do even seek out people to help us do that. If we didn't, you wouldn't have a pastor for your church. You wouldn't have elders in your church. That's what their purpose is, right? You wouldn't have teachers. It'd be everybody just go and learn everything completely on their own. No, we do want people to help us with this. We need to make sure they're the right people, teaching the right things. And we need to understand what they're saying here. What they go on to say is the guide is trained as a spiritual director, which personally I thought that was supposed to be the Holy Spirit. Don't just listen to somebody else, whether it's even your pastor, your elders. Hey, I love Pastor Ben. He was my pastor up in Gastonia before he was your pastor here. I love Pastor Ben. But you know what? You still need to take whatever he says and compare it to Scripture. Take everything I say and compare it to Scripture. Don't take my word for it. Look at what the Bible has to say. But they say that this person is trained as your spiritual director, and they are called master teachers. You know, even as good as this stuff might sound, this is what my Lord Jesus told me in His Word. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 10, He says, "Do not be called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Now that name rabbi, which he says don't be called, simply means great teacher. They were supposed to be the top teachers. And then don't be called masters, and yet these leaders are being called master teachers. Wait a minute, this is two things that Jesus specifically said no about, and yet these are the people we're going to go to learn from? The ones who take the names that Jesus said don't do? That already tells me this is not the right place to be. It doesn't matter how good it may sound what they're saying that they're doing. I can tell you this very thing here. I have a friend in Texas who their pastor brought this very stuff into their church. And it was brought in under the premise of this man is going to come and teach us how to really listen to the Holy Spirit. How to listen to what the Holy Spirit is talking to us about and to follow Him. This is a great man. I went out to California and studied under him. This is what the pastor was saying. He went to an Assemblies of God church to study under him. Now, wait a minute. If I recall correctly, the last time I checked, the Assembly of God, to begin with, didn't believe in Sabbath. Sabbath is a very plain teaching of Scripture. The Sabbath is something that the Holy Spirit teaches us about. And yet he's rejecting that. Other teachings that we know are very plain from Scripture, they reject them also. If you're rejecting God's truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us into all truth, then can't we say that you have to be rejecting the Holy Spirit as well? And if you're rejecting the Holy Spirit, is that a very good person to be teaching you how to listen to the Holy Spirit? I don't see how it can be. And yet, they're bringing men like this into our church to teach us how to listen to the Holy Spirit. What it says they're trying to do sounds good. But if you want somebody leading you in your spiritual life, make sure it's somebody following the God that you want to follow. One of the practices that many of the people involved in each of these participate in is something called contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer begins with centering prayer, which is a meditative practice where the practitioner, that's the person who's participating in the prayer, focuses on a word and repeats that word over and over for the duration of the exercise. The purpose is to clear one's mind of outside concerns so that God's voice may be more easily heard. After the centering prayer, the practitioner is to sit still, listen for direct guidance from God, and feel His presence. In other words, you take one word and you just keep saying it over and over and over again until there's nothing else in your head except that one word. Anytime anything else comes in, you just start saying that word even more to remove everything else. Then when you're at that point, then you let go of this word too. And then you have an empty head for God to come in and speak to. Do you really trust that idea? I know Satan's spoken to me at many times, trying to get me to believe that it's God. You empty your head, basically driving the Holy Spirit away from you. Who's going to be that barrier there? There's not going to be. And notice what they said. You empty, clear out all your mind, and then you listen to this voice because it's going to be God. Man, there's no telling what that voice is going to say. One of the things that I heard with this, I didn't see it on their website, but one of the things is somebody told me about this when they were trying to encourage me to do a deeper study, is they say that one of the things you're to do with this also is you clear out your whole head and then you imagine. You imagine you see Jesus. And then you go up and start talking to Jesus. And you can talk to Him about whatever you want, ask Him whatever you want, and you listen to what He says. And that's Jesus talking to you. Now wait a minute. You're telling me to start with just imagine it, then you're telling me my imagination is Jesus. I don't know about you, I don't trust my own thoughts. I've been wrong too many times. Some of you may be right all the time, and you trust all your thoughts. That's
That's up to you. I know I'm not. I don't trust my own thoughts enough to where I can accept whatever it is I imagine as being directly from God. No, that doesn't work for me. Not only that, you know, Scripture does teach us to meditate. And that's what they're saying here. You get into this meditative practice. But you know, I can't recall reading anywhere in Scripture where meditation meant completely emptying your mind. What scriptural meditation I found is to think upon God's Word, to think upon the person of God, who He is and what He has done in your life. That's what I've seen as biblical meditation. It's not empty your mind and let anything come in. It's fill it with the Word of God. Now think about these things for a moment. It would be nice if we could say that all this was just outside somewhere else. Outside of Christianity, preferably. But then even if it's inside, it's not in our church. But not only does this have a real great hold within Christianity, it has a hold in our own denomination. We understand as Seventh-day Adventists that in the last days, we're going to have apostate Protestantism and spiritualism combining forces. This is a combination of the two together. When we think of those who are involved in these things, think of their other beliefs, think how they are contrary to Scripture, then we really have to ask ourselves, do I want them teaching me? And we have a passage in Scripture that we usually talk about at weddings. 2 Corinthians 6:14-16. Or generally not so much at weddings, but in talking to people who are thinking about getting married and they're looking at the person they're dating, and we say, you know, they don't believe the same way as you do. And the Bible tells us, do not be unequally yoked together. And you know, we need to teach people that. When you're looking at joining together with somebody for the rest of your life, they need to understand that. And they need to understand how serious a matter it is. But isn't it an even more serious matter when it's concerning your spiritual life? I mean, that's the reason we talk about it there, is because the spiritual ramifications of it. But what about when that's what it is we're looking at completely? We're bringing in spiritual leaders, but we're bringing in those who already differ in almost an entire belief system. And the rest of that passage from 2 Corinthians says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And if they're not believing Scripture, even if they call themselves a Christian, they are an unbeliever. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Baal? What part has he that believes with an infidel? Think about it. If they don't believe what you know to be clear teachings of Scripture, is it really somebody you want to be yoked together with to teach you Scripture? I don't see how. Now, listening to some of the people who talk about these movements that are going on, what I have learned from them and have been able to see through some of this is that the leaders of these movements actually are pointing people to the writings
of Roman Catholic mystics. Now, we already know many of the things that Roman Catholics write that we don't want to be involved in. And, you know, I love many Catholics. My mom is a Catholic. I was raised a Catholic. I'm not putting down the Catholics. But we know many of their teachings. And we already know we don't want to be involved in that. But let's even take that out of the picture for just a moment. Would it be any better if they just point us to the writings of mystics? Forget what kind of mystics they are? No. You know, my Bible, which again I hold as absolute truth, tells me where to stay away from mystics, astrologers, witches, all these people. There's not much difference in any of them. And we're to stay away from them, not go to people who point us to their writings. A while back, several years ago, what we were complaining about in this church was the teachings of the New Age movement coming in. You remember that? And people would get up in arms about that. We'd have some people, how great this is, but others, oh no, this is of the devil. And I think as a whole, we have come to the consensus that the New Age movement is of the devil. These very same techniques that these people are using come straight out of the New Age movement. If you didn't like the New Age movement, you surely shouldn't like this either. Part of the goal of these movements is to bring you to the point where you understand that God is in everything. Do you recall that from anywhere in the past? Yeah. This is part of what the big problem with John Harvey Kellogg was. It came to the point God was in everything. If God's in everything, then that becomes the kind of thing where everything is God. When we're looking at that and God in you, which I believe God is supposed to be dwelling in you, yes. But God in you doesn't make you God. But that's where this teaching all comes to. It's not just that the presence of God is there, which I do believe the presence of God is everywhere. But I don't believe that the presence of God is in that pew. I don't believe that there's any divinity in there. And I don't believe that with the presence of God in you, that that makes you God. And I hope you will never believe that about anybody else either. There is one God. And you're not it, I'm not it, nobody else in here is it either. And yet, this is the kinds of teachings where all this leads to. And if you want to understand the seriousness of it, when Kellogg was teaching this, Ellen White, I don't know how many of you here accept her as a prophet. I do. When Kellogg was teaching these things, she came out saying that what he was believing and promoting was the alpha of apostasy. It was the beginning of everything to lead you completely away from God. She warned about the omega of apostasy coming. If that was the alpha, and this is basically the same thing, and now it's coming in the last days, you at least have to entertain the thought that perhaps this is the omega. This is what is going to lead many of our people away from the one true God. Now, is it the omega? I don't know. Some people are teaching, yes, it is. I don't know. I would hate to actually take that stance because I know we got a very conniving devil out there that can come up with even more stuff than this. And so I'd hate for people to become so focused on one thing that they don't even see the worst that's coming in behind it.
But I want you to understand how bad this truly is. I want you to understand how much this is affecting our churches. I mentioned to you the church in Texas. It goes a lot further than that. One of the promoters of these things, even the author of the book, Quantum Spirituality, is a man named Leonard Sweet. This man, a couple of the things he writes in his book is that in the words of one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, Jesuit Karl Rainer, the Christian of tomorrow will be a mystic, one who has experienced something or be nothing. Now, the theologians I'm looking to are those who are teaching us about God. Supposedly the one true God. And yet he's saying the greatest teachers to teach us about God are going to be those who are mystics. This man, Karl Rainer, is who the Ohio Conference of Seventh-day Adventists brings in to teach their pastors. A friend of mine told me that they actually had some friends who lived in Ohio who moved from Ohio to North Carolina for that very reason, to get away from this. Now, I did hear a couple weeks ago that things are changing. They did bring in a new conference president up there. I have not checked it out. I don't know. I just know this person was telling me they have relatives up there, and they told him that Ron Halverson is the new conference president up there. Asked me, did I think he would change things? If Ron Halverson's the new conference president up there, I'm sure he will. Is Ron Halverson the new conference president? I don't know. I haven't checked that out. I hope somebody is, though. I hope we're putting a stop to this stuff. The sad part with it is, we're not only bringing people from the outside in, we have people on the inside already. My mother, several months ago, showed me an article from the newspaper. Seventh-day Adventist minister chooses to try out being an atheist for a whole year. I'm like, what? Now, granted, this man, yes, he was an ordained Seventh-day Adventist pastor. At the time the article was written, I think the church had kicked him out. He did pastor probably the most liberal church in our denomination, out in California somewhere. And they got him out of there. So that tells you how far he went. He was teaching in a couple of our schools. And if my understanding serves me correctly, he has been taken out of there. At one point, one of the schools dropped him, but he was still teaching in the other. But I think he's out completely now. For the life of me, I don't understand how anybody who even professes to be a Christian can say, I want to try living without God. I can't understand it for a day. I want to try life without God for a day, much less to say for a year. I lived without God for 20 years, something like that. And you know, the biggest portion of them, I didn't know anything anyway, so it didn't matter. I can't imagine living without God now. I tell you, these last few weeks, I can only imagine what my life would be if I didn't have God right now. I had my youngest daughter went out to Idaho with my second oldest daughter, the oldest one who actually grew up with me, and her husband and baby, 5-month-old baby. They went out there, and a week later, my youngest daughter calls up and tells me that our older daughter was dead. That's what I've been dealing with the last few weeks. We're having the memorial service tomorrow. I can only imagine what things would be like without my God. With my God, I can be here today. I can't imagine knowing God and just choosing, God, I'm going to set you up on the shelf for the next year. I want to see what it's like. Forget it. But this man, Ryan Bell, Seventh-day Adventist minister, who chose to take this route, what I have learned, it wasn't in that article, but what I have learned, started in the teachings of spiritual formation. You think it's not really that bad? That's where it goes to. Is he the extreme? He may be. But if it even begins to head that direction, do you want to go there? I certainly hope not. Not only him. In New York, there's another pastor. His name is Samir Simonovic, something like that. I'm sure I butchered it completely. He is an ordained Seventh-day Adventist minister. He is the founder and leader of something called Faith House. This is taken directly off his website. Their mission: we are an experiential, interreligious community that comes together to deepen our personal and communal journeys, share ritual life and devotional space, and foster a commitment to social justice and healing the world. Now, my first problem with that is, where is anything about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It's not there. Why is it not there? Because so many of these people they're joining together with are anti-Christian. This is their vision. In order to achieve this mission, we are growing 5S aspects of our local community in New York City. One of those aspects is living room gatherings. Twice a month, Faith House hosts living room gatherings where we share holy days, learn new spiritual practices, and address current cultural and social issues. Each gathering has a specific theme and hands-on participatory elements. The second thing is Religious Spaces New York City. Once a month, we step out of our comfort zones and enter new sacred spaces in New York City in the safety of community on prearranged field trips. We visit diverse religious services as well as lectures, rituals, concerts, and other events. One of the places that they go to on their field trip to experience all this stuff and to learn and to grow is the Center for Inquiry. And their website, it says Center for Inquiring, Fostering Humanistic Values. Now, the very first thing I learned about humanistic, it means anti-God. Very simply. I mean, they could put this Center for Inquiry, anti-God values. And it would basically be the same thing. But this is what the Center for Inquiry says. The mission of the Center for Inquiry is to foster a secular society based on science, reason, freedom of inquiry, and humanistic values. That seems to go right back to the quantum spirituality, doesn't it? Let's let science determine what is right. In an interview with Samir, this is what he had to say. I love the emerging church. I love its people, ideas, gatherings, and hopes. I am a fan, a member, a devotee. He says, after 10 years of networking, we don't have an organizational structure, a systematic theology, or headquarters. We might never. Things are always changing, including the emerging church. Now, wait a minute. I'm sure you can finish this for me, but in the book of Malachi, my God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same. So should our whole belief system be changing day by day? If we have a God who does not change, and that God has the truth isn't going to change. And if we're learning from Him, then we shouldn't be changing day by day either. Samir goes on to say, he says, I found sacred good and God in all others. We need the other. And the other he's talking about is atheism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, humanism, all these things. We need all this. It's not just that we need it. Listen to what he says. What can we learn from Buddhism and other religions for the blind spot in ours? I thought about that for a moment. And you know, it wouldn't be bad to learn from others for any blind spots we might have. Except I looked at the word of my God, and this is what he said in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have this book to make us perfect and thoroughly furnished. Okay? And then we also have John 16:13. Where Jesus himself said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. If we've got all truth, we got the Holy Spirit to guide us into all that truth. We've got the Word to make us perfect and thoroughly furnished. Where's the blind spot? Where's the hole? We got all we need right here. We don't need to go to those who are anti-God to help us fill holes. I don't know about you, but any hole in my life I want filled with God. Not something else to take me further away from God. Now, I've been working the last 30 plus years, trying to get closer to my God. I definitely don't want to be going to meetings where they're trying to help me be more secular. Man, I was secular enough. And I didn't have all that many years to get there. And it was bad enough. Talk to the people I was in high school with. They'll tell you how bad it was. And I know it could have been a whole lot worse. Man, I want to be closer to my God, not further away. Samir also says that life is the ultimate authority and determines what is right. I can only imagine where that goes. My Bible tells me Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you want to put it that way, okay. Jesus is the life, and the life determines what is right. Okay, I'll give you that. But your own life experience? No, never. There's a way that seems right to the man, but the end thereof is death. No. We are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. My friends, this Bible is the word of truth. We need to spend our time in it, not with anyone or anything that's going to take us anywhere away from it. If you can't find anyone to help you understand it better, okay, ask God. Even if you think you have someone to help you understand it better, ask God. Jesus Himself, as I already read, said He would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. If you will take this book and you will sit down with it and you will ask God to follow through on His promise and give you that Holy Spirit to help you to understand this word, you will be amazed at the things that He reveals. I know that because I've experienced it. I continue to experience it. But I can tell you, it's not going to happen as long as the book stays on the shelf or sitting on the table or the kitchen counter. And mine does that sometimes, yes. Does God still speak to me? Yes, God will still speak to me. God will still speak to you. One of the things He's going to continue to tell you is get into my Word. Just because you set it aside for a little bit doesn't mean God's going to set you aside. No. But if you want to know God, if you want to know what He has to say, you're going to have to get in the Word. He's not going to tell you otherwise. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:14 that we are to no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Takes us back to our scripture reading. We are in the last days. There is seducing doctrines, cunning, deceiving, things we need to be aware of, we need to be watchful for. And unless we are in the truth, learning the truth, we're not going to know this other stuff is a lie. It will sound good. The Apostle Paul also writes to us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, "Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Do you get that? God says, I'll receive you when you come out from all that other stuff, when you stay away from that which is unclean. That's not just talking about the animals that you eat. All unclean things. Anything that is not of God. All these teachings that seek to lead you away from the Bible. Have no part with them. It's not, let me go and see what it's all about. You know, Jesus warned us about that too. In a little bit different way. You know, He said that they would be saying that the Messiah's return and go out there in the desert to meet Him. And He says, don't go. Don't even bother going out there. It's not the truth. You know it's not the truth. Stay away because otherwise you'll be deceived. And we're warned that such teachings are going to come in the last days. That if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That means if you're not right up there on top with God, you're going to be deceived. And if you're playing around with all this other stuff, I can tell you, you're going to be deceived. It's the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Keep your eye out for these other things, yes. Take everything that comes up back to the Scriptures. Compare it wholeheartedly to Scripture. If it differs from it in any way, throw it out. Get away. Get back in the Scriptures. My friends, that is the only safe course that we have. And I can tell you, I have learned that some people within our church really understand how serious these teachings are. To the point that they have come together to produce a video As far as I know, it's not out yet. I was looking for it last night even. It is actually a documentary on the emerging church movement within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of the people who are involved in this movie is John Bradshaw, Doug Batchelor, Jay Gallimore. I've met John Bradshaw. I've studied under Jay Gallimore. Now, granted, with Jay, it was a number of years ago. I can only hope that he's grown in his relationship with God from where he was then. And at that time, he was one of the most godly men I've ever met. And so to have grown in that relationship, hey man, I can only imagine what he's like now. And I can guarantee you, if he's one of them who's teaching against this stuff, it is deadly. It is deadly. It's not just bad. It's deadly. The name of this documentary is called The Shaking. I would suggest you keep your eyes out for it and see what it's all about. But in the meantime, keep your eyes on God. Do not let any of this stuff come into your church here. And by keeping it out of this local church, you can help keep it out of our church as a whole. Share this with others. If you want to learn more about it, there is a documentary already on YouTube called The Real Roots of the Emerging Church. I don't think that was put out by Seventh-day Adventists. That was put out by other Protestants to talk about how bad this is. So it's not just Seventh-day Adventists that think it's awful. But my friends, we are in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. We must be ready. We must pull away from all this other stuff and turn back wholeheartedly to the Word of God.